We're going to have little voices this morning, and that's okay. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to read the first seven verses. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want us to center our thoughts upon the fact that Noah lived by faith. We don't find out that Noah lived by faith until we read it in the New Testament. The reason that Noah could live by faith was because he was just. In chapter 10 of Hebrews and verse 38, it tells us that the just shall live by faith. And Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 tells us that Noah was just, a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And one of the reasons why Noah, or one of the characteristics of a just person, is obedience. I think it would be helpful for us to just touch on that briefly. In Genesis 6:22, it says that, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And I think it's significant that it's repeated, that he did. And this was the testimony from God. And in chapter 7, in verse 5 of Genesis, it says that Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. But I think that it's significant that there's a testimony of a Gentile by the name of Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20. In Genesis chapter 20, in verses 4 and 5, it says, but Abimelech, a Gentile, had not come near her. This is talking about Abraham's wife, Sarah. Abraham was telling little white lies, half-truths. She said, well, she's my sister. Well, she was his sister, that is, half-sister. And Sarah was, maybe 85 or 90 by that time. And she was a good-looking lady. Abimelech says, I think I'd like to have her as my wife. Can you imagine? That's something. Anyway, so the Lord appeared unto him and was warning Abimelech about her. And Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Or the same word, just nation. Abimelech was just. The people that were under him were just. And Abimelech called Jehovah Lord. So here we find Gentile believers in the days of Abraham. Notice what it said in verse 5. Said he, that is Abraham, not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Why was Abimelech just? He had integrity. And he was innocent. He was not guilty. The innocence of his hands. His hands were not the idol's or the devil's workshop, if you want to put it that way. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. I think all of us have heard that at one time or another. And Abimelech had integrity, and his hands had not done evil. Then in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 20, it says, and Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. Another characteristic of being just is the fear of God. Abimelech feared God. And so this was the character of Noah. He had integrity. He was innocent. And he feared God. There are other places that we could go, but this applies to the context in which Noah lived and Abraham and so forth. Now, it says that by faith, in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith Noah moved with fear. So it confirms the fact that Noah feared God. He moved with fear to the preparing of the ark. And we know that that Noah walked with God. And when did Noah start living by faith? When he started building the ark. Now, why am I making an issue or pointing this out? Living by faith is not getting saved. Living by faith is not getting saved. Living by faith is doing what the Lord commands us to do with anticipation and hope. Noah moved with fear to the preparing of the ark that in hopes of saving his family, because God told him what he was going to do. He was going to flood the earth. And Noah believed that. And so therefore, Noah began to do what God called him to do. An interesting phenomena is this. The word faith, at least in the King James Bible, is only found twice in the Old Testament. And it's not a very happy translation. The two places that the word faith is found in the Old Testament is in Habakkuk 2:4, which we have been quoting in the New Testament, where it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, or live by his faith. And this word faith in the Hebrew, in the Strong's Concordance, is H530. I'm putting that in the notes so that you can see a relationship with other passages in the Old Testament. The word 530 is translated faithfulness, stability, steady. Faith is basically being dependable when it comes to seeking God. We must diligently seek Him. That God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him and are faithful in their walk with Him. The other place that the word faith is found is in Deuteronomy 32:20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith or no faithfulness. And this word faith here has the Strong's number 529, and that's just simply the masculine form of 530. Okay, I wanted you to to know that there's two different numbers, and why are the two different numbers? One's feminine, the other one's masculine. That's all it means. Now, how is that word used in other places to help us to understand that? You remember when Joshua was fighting battles while they were in the wilderness? And remember when Moses held up his hands, Joshua was winning, and when his hands fell down to his side, Joshua lost. What did they do? They set Moses down on a rock, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands. Well, you find that in Exodus 17:12. But Moses' hands were heavy, Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and his hands were steady. That's the word faith. His hands were steady. I don't know whether I've been so tired at times that my hands would tremble. I've been so tired. I remember when I took some leave in the Navy. I went down to Rumney, New Hampshire to help Cal McNutt get the Christian camp for kids ready for the summer. 1958, we were clearing timber with a... wasn't a chainsaw, it was a power saw that was reciprocating, I guess that's what you call it. Anyway, it moved back and forth like this instead of having a chain around it. I got so tired that I couldn't hold the chain to that saw, that power saw, off my leg. And with that thing running, I just could not keep it from falling on my leg. And I had my dungarees on, my Navy dungarees and blue jeans. And touched my leg, and of course I turned off the saw as quick as I could. Didn't even scratch my leg at all. But Moses' hands were so heavy that they needed to be steadied. That's faith. That's what the word faith means. It means to be steady, not moving, not shaking, not wishy-washy. That's what faith is. In Isaiah 33:6 is another place where that word is used. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Faith is stability. When you're living by faith, you know what God can say? I can count on you. If you're not living by faith, God says, I can't count on you. Living by faith means stability. And of thy times and strength of thy salvation. In Lamentations 3:23, it says, talking about the Lord's mercies, they're new every morning. Great is thy faith or stability or faithfulness. The word faithfulness is the same word that is translated faith in Habakkuk 2:4 and Deuteronomy 32:20. So when we get over in the New Testament, we see that the word that has to do with faithfulness, stability, and being steady is translated faith. I hope that gives you a little bit of an appreciation of what faith really is. Because the New Testament writers assigned the Greek word faith to that Old Testament word. Now, again, faith is a New Testament word and not an Old Testament word. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Faith is to be revealed. And let me say this. Everybody in the Old Testament that was saved apart from faith. You did not get saved in the Old Testament by faith. And you don't get saved in the New Testament, spiritually speaking, by faith. You get saved by the verb believe. Faith is a noun. And you get saved by the verb believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So, the question I asked myself one time was this. If faith is a New Testament term, how did Abel and Enoch and all the ones in Hebrews 11 live by faith. Because it says they did. Well, I found a verse in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, where we find that faith was reckoned unto them, or unto Abraham. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. In other words, faith was reckoned to Abraham when there was no law. But faith was not revealed until after the law, after the Old Testament. Now, the word reckon means to impute or to count it that way. Sometimes I have difficulty trying to figure out how to count it that way. It just means that we're going to say that it is that's the way it's going to be. We're going to well, I can't really put it together. It means just simply to reckon it, to count it, to impute it. That's just to say that it's that way. To say it's that way rather than it being that way. Okay? Because Abraham did not have faith because faith was not yet revealed. But God said, as far as I'm concerned, he is behaving himself as one who has faith. Okay? I think that will help. Now, what is important about the lesson this morning is this. Many today associate the righteousness which is of faith with our salvation. And that is an error. And for this reason, you can make shipwreck of faith. You can stop being steady and begin to shake. You can stop being faithful and to fall away. And if you can make shipwreck of the faith, you can make shipwreck of righteousness. Because righteousness is based upon faithfulness on our part. Now, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, Jew and Gentile." But the point here is the word believe is in the present tense. Believe in the present tense is actually a participle. It's a verb used as a noun. And it means faithfulness. Continuous action. And you can stop that. And when you stop that, then you are no longer pleasing God and you are no longer in the righteousness that comes when you are pleasing God. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3 it says, "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." When did Abraham believe God that it be counted unto him for righteousness? It was in Genesis chapter 15. Is that where Abraham begins with his walk with God? No. Abraham was already in the land. God had already appeared to him in the Ur of the Chaldees. And he called him into the land. And he had been walking with the Lord and ran down to Egypt and got himself in trouble. He and Lot split. And when he and Lot split, then the Lord was able to commune with him. It was when Abraham had split and had won the battle against the kings of that area, the four kings, that's when God said, "You're going to have your seed is going to be as the stars of the heavens and as the sands of the sea, and you're going to be and I'm going to be your reward." Abraham believed him, and for that reason, In Romans chapter 4 and verse 11 it says, He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, in the present tense. Abraham is the father of those who live by faith. That's who he is, the ones believing. Now, faith comes in degrees. Did you know that? Believe does not come in degrees. I mean, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't believed extra believe. I mean, how do you? You can't even relate that kind of information or that thought when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith is in degrees. In Mark 4:40 it says, "How is it that ye have no faith?" In Luke 17:5 the apostle said, "Increase our faith." In other words, we need more faith. In Matthew 6:30 it says, "O ye of little faith." And the Syrophoenician woman, the Lord said, "Woman, great is thy faith." And then also he says, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. So faith is in degrees, different degrees. And because of that, our confidence in God varies. We need to go from faith to faith as we go from grace to grace. I was just thinking about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham went out." And then in verse 9 it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land." And then in Hebrews 11:17 it says, "By faith Abraham offered up to Isaac." I don't know whether you can see the progression of his confidence in God. I tell you, he had great confidence in God when he put Isaac on the altar and took a knife out to cut him or to kill him. That is great. He didn't start out with having Abraham sacrifice Isaac to begin with. He just said, "Abraham, I just want you to leave town and leave your relatives." And then he says, "I want you to sojourn in the land." And that took faith, because he was having trouble with the people in the land. But he stayed. Anyway, now, in Hebrews 11, in verse 7, it says that Noah became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Now, when you see the word heir, H-E-I-R, heir, antennas should go up. A big light bulb should come on. That has to do with family. Inheritance has to do with family. And Noah became the heir of the righteousness which is of by faith. And we know from Romans chapter... Let me just go ahead and bring this out. If we inherit the righteousness which is of faith, let me say this, you can lose your inheritance. You can lose the righteousness which is of faith. Do you know anybody who lost his inheritance? Esau. Esau despised his birthright and he lost his inheritance. He lost the blessing. And that we can lose the blessing that comes with the righteousness which is of faith. If you have the righteousness which is of faith, what testimony do you have? You have the same testimony that Enoch had. You please God. And beloved, we want that testimony. I want that testimony. I want to encourage you to have that testimony. That you please God. That you were faithful. That God could count on you. He knows what you're going to be doing tomorrow morning when it comes time for devotions, or whenever you have devotions. But anyway, so Esau sold his birthright, And so we need to appreciate the fact that Noah could have lost his birthright, or excuse me, lost the righteousness which is the righteousness which is of faith. In Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The word "believeth" in that passage of Scripture is in the present tense. It's a participle. The ones believing, the ones living by faith, are the ones that are going to enter into this salvation. Now, what is that salvation a reference to? Well, there's more than one salvation in the Scriptures. There's the spirit salvation that comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, because we're sinners and we're born into the family of God. Then there is a salvation in Christ that the elect can enjoy and that they can enter into. And it's known as the salvation of the soul, or the salvation of our life. What life are we talking about? We're talking about the life of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. That is the receiving. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Notice that it says that it's receiving the end of your faith. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was saved. I was born into the family of God instantly. But this has to do with the end of my life of living by faith. I will receive the salvation of my soul. That's the reason why in Galatians 5 and verse 5 it says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." That's the reason why righteousness by faith is a hope. It's a hope. In fact, as a matter, I didn't put it in here, but it tells us that faith will not work apart from love. Paul says, "After I heard of your faith and love for the brethren, I begin to pray for you." Faith doesn't work if there's no love for the brethren. Faith is beyond salvation. Faith has to do with your walk with God. Remember what Peter, or what Paul, or the Lord told Peter? He says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Because it can fail. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, "Some concerning the faith have made shipwreck." And then in 1 Timothy 4:1 it says, "Some shall depart from the faith." When you depart from the faith, when you make shipwreck of the faith, you make shipwreck of the righteousness of God in your life. That doesn't mean you're lost. That doesn't mean that you're no longer part of the family of God. It just means that you will not stand in His presence approved. You will not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My purpose for being here is to encourage all of us to stand at the judgment seat of Christ approved. That's what I'm here for. And plus some other things too. So the question then I ask is, what do we need to do? Well, in Acts 14 in verse 22, it says that the apostles, particularly in Paul, and was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's the lesson this morning. To continue in the faith. I'm trying to exhort you to continue to please God. I'm trying to exhort all of us to continue to be steady, to be faithful, to not shake in our walk with God. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Stand fast. Don't budge. Don't move. And in Jude chapter 1 verse 3, it says that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I have guarded the faith. Paul contended for the faith. And you know what he says? He says, there's a crown of righteousness waiting on me. And one of the reasons why he was able to do all of these things is because he anticipated the soon return of Jesus Christ. So, what do we need to do? Well, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or the Word of Christ. Our faith is bolstered when we read God's Word. When I read about what God did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Samuel, and all the prophets in the Old Testament, you know what? My confidence in God goes up and up and up. Poor Abraham, he had no cloud of witnesses. Well, he did too. He did have Enoch and Abel and Noah, but it was just a little cloud. Well, that's all that Elijah needed was a cloud about the size of a hand, wasn't it? For the rain, for him to begin to pray for rain. Well, we have a bigger cloud of witnesses than Abraham did. And so therefore we ought to be encouraged to do what? To run our race with patience. And laying aside every sin that would beset us from what? Running the race and living by faith in pleasing God. The Scriptures teach us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if we're not living by faith, we're sinning. That's just basically what it amounts to. And it's sin that we need to confess. When we're not faithful to the Lord, we need to confess that sin. May the Lord help us to contend, what? For the faith. And if we will, we're going to receive the kind of honor that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the other men in Hebrews 11 will receive because of their faithfulness to the Lord. Father, we do pray that you would help us to anticipate with hope and expectation the blessings that come from the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We know, Lord, and we're very well aware of it, that we can make shipwreck of the faith. And there are times when our faith is small, and there are times when our faith is none, and there are times when our faith is great. And so, Lord, we know that there's no testing or trial beyond our confidence in Thee, but You will provide a way of escape. We do pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be faithful to You, to please You, and help us, Lord, to be like Noah, who was just, who had integrity, who was innocent, who feared Thee. Lord, knowing that all of these things lead us to the place where we should be diligent in seeking You. For the just shall live by faith. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen.